The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We've been talking about the defense a lot today. That comes down to the defense. Now, when it matters the most, can you get that stop to give Jordan Love and your offense an opportunity to get in the field goal range and steal a victory? They didn't.
Defensively? I mean, you got to get pressure on these guys if they're going to drop back that many times. And if you don't, it's going to be a long day.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
They're a good team. You know who doesn't win the Super Bowl?
Good teams.
You got to be great.
I think there absolutely is a belief that we can win one of these games. We got to go do it. Bottom line. And we got to earn the right to play these guys again.
I said that this team would be there next year. I can't say that.
You know, we're going to have to find ways when the playoffs start to go in those road atmospheres and win those tough games. But it's only going to get tougher for us. So we know that. You know, we got to find ways to keep improving, keep getting better.
But I have concerns. I'm already moving to next year. I'm sorry.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
I don't know why, but one of my favorite things that Chewy does is when he gets all, you know, he's a little hot under the collar, he's giving a good take. Like, we just turned in the open. I'm already moving to next year. I'm sorry. And he apologizes for the take that he gives, even though we all know, you aren't actually sorry. Am I right?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. And I just thought about it. Right? I just thought about it, Gabe.
Okay.
They're 0-5. You're 0-5, right? Correct?
Against the three teams that are better than you in the NFC, correct?
You're 0-5.
Yes.
And now you want me to believe or tell you that they're going to go 4-0? Is that what you want?
No.
Because I can say it. I'm not going to believe it. I mean, I could say it very willy-nilly.
I mean,
it's... Do you think they're going to go 4-0?
No. I mean, they're 2-5 against teams that are in the playoff field in AFC, NFC in 2024. Like, they're 2-5 in those games. Jordan Love is completing about 60% of his passes, 13 touchdowns, 8 interceptions in those games. Guess that this is not good enough. Like, when you've taken a step up in competition, you just have not been good enough.
Gabe, after I said that yesterday, let me ask you this question. Ashton, you can chime in, but no one really cares what you say.
True.
Oh, hi, Ashton. Didn't see you there.
Do you think Goody's moved on to next year?
In his job, I mean, he's kind of... I mean, there's only so much the general manager can do on December 31st.
Correct.
You know, I'm sure he's already moved on to the draft. Like, they're probably already, you know, pouring over college film and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
I mean, do I think that the front office believes the Packers are going to win 4 in a row and win a Super Bowl and everything's going to be great? Grand? No, I do not believe that the front office believes that.
So do you think he's sitting there with his team of scouts, with his team of player personnel, all those guys sitting there going, what do we do at defensive end next year?
So
what do we do at receiver next year?
So let me ask you this question, because I was asked this yesterday. I joined the Damn Sports Show, each and every Monday on 1430 WBEV, WBEV ESPN Beaver Dam. And they asked me, if I were Goody, what would my offseason priority list be? What's your priority? Like, when you're talking about this team and the positions we know that are weak, What would be one? What would be two? What would be three?
I think one, you have to start with the D line. But yep. Now there's another problem that's arisen that I don't know if they anticipated or what, but you know, you listen to Rob and you're probably gonna hear from Jason in the next segment, and they both say, I don't know if Jason has, that Jair's not gonna be here next year. That's a big void, Gabe.
Well, it's...
Am I right?
You're
a big boy.
100%. Because here's the problem. Here's the problem with that position in particular, Drew. Like, I thought we got it, by the way. Eric Stokes almost had that pass defended this last week. It was a high throw. He jumped up for it. Apparently, he didn't get a fingertip on it. So the streak continues for Eric Stokes. But however you feel about Eric Stokes, he's playing. Like, he's out there playing.
Mm-hmm.
Jaire Alexander was a part of your plans. Like, both of those guys, I believe, will not be here next year. Like, that's a huge hole at that position. Like, you're missing your preferred starter in Jaire, and then a rotational guy in Eric Stokes, leaving you with Valentine. It was nice that he had the interception on Sunday. Keyshawn Nixon, and those guys are fine. Like, they're NFL players. It's not like they should be cut today. But if those two are your starting corners going into next year, I don't feel great about that position.
Well, coupled with the fact if they're going to do what the Bucs did and roll it back on the defensive line, it's just like...
So I answered that question. I was with you. I was defensive line cornerback. Although, if we're talking first round, like, whatever position is best available between those two, right? Like, if there's a really good corner available to you whenever you're drafting in the first round and the defensive line, I haven't done my deep dive into the draft yet. Like, I have not moved on to the draft. I am not at that point yet. I will eventually get there. I am not at that point yet. But you know what I'm saying, Chu? Like, to me, corner and defensive line go hand in hand, and it's just as big of an issue. They're both huge issues, which brings me to the wide receiver position, which I don't believe is good enough. I don't know if there's an actual number one in this group. Maybe somebody develops. They haven't really this year. Maybe somebody develops this offseason. I'm not sure. I don't think the wide receiver group is good enough. However, you do have four guys there that you like. They're good. Like, they're twos or threes, maybe, right?
Yeah.
So, because defensive line and corner is such a big issue, I don't know if that number one wide receiver thing that I look at as a problem even gets addressed this offseason, because you have so many bigger issues elsewhere, and at least you have the bodies at wide receiver.
And let's not confuse the people out there, because, Gabe, we got a little yesterday. You know, there's people out there saying, oh, then why even play against Philadelphia? Why don't you just forfeit? We're not saying that. We're saying they can beat Philly.
Yep.
They can beat Minnesota.
Yep.
They can beat Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't do the three in a row.
Yeah. The inconsistencies are too much.
We're being proactive about this thing and start building a plan for the next year. Because, I mean, did you think that, Gabe, at the beginning of training camp, gushing over the D-line, did you think the D-line would be that bad this year?
No. I had high hopes.
The way they were talking about Rashawn Gary, I'm like,
he was Pro Bowl for sure, if not all pro. Maybe defensive player of the year.
This is a 13 sack season.
I mean, he's got half that right now.
I don't. What does Van Ness have? 3 sacks?
We looked it up yesterday.
So I looked this up yesterday. We moved on, so I didn't get to bring it up. Yes, Lucas Van Ness has 3 sacks. You know who also has 3 sacks?
Brenton Cox.
Keyshawn Nixon.
Okay.
You know what's funny about the defensive line, Chu? Like, you talk about the gushing, and I remember all training camp it was the gush fest that you and Jen and Gam were all talking about, the gush fest that was.
Well, because, like, Rashawn Gary was unstoppable for the first 2 weeks of training camp.
Everyone was thinking, it can't get worse than it was last year with these guys underperforming, and all it did was continue to get worse in the poop Kool-Aid.
We can't help ourselves with the damn Kool-Aid, can we, Chewy?
Two things I already have on my list. For the new year.
Wait, you have a list?
Oh, wait, needs music if you got a list. Hold on.
These are NFL resolutions. Okay? Resolutions.
Okay. All right, I'm in. Chewy's NFL resolutions.
I am not listening to one damn word analyst, ESPN, whatever it is, tell me that the Chicago Bears are going to be good.
Okay, I like it. Okay.
Not one word. I ripped the rearview mirror out of my car and the side mirrors. They ain't even in.
No mirrors.
Things, okay?
We're out. We're out on mirrors in 2025.
And the other thing, I am not listening to one word about this defensive line in training camp and how good they are.
All right.
I'm out. I am out.
Unless they.
Because we drank the Kool-Aid, probably more than me when it comes to the Bears, drank the Kool-Aid about those two things.
Yeah.
And they both blew up in our face.
Yeah. I thought the Bears were going to be a lot better. Yeah. I'll own that.
Yeah. That's all I got right now, my two resolutions. There'll be more.
Okay.
Those are two good ones. It's a hot
There'll
start.
Be
800-990-3776. I want to know what your NFL resolutions are going to be that we can add to this list. Chewy has his NFL resolutions out there. Number one, he is not going to listen to anyone tell him how good the Chicago Bears are going to be. And number two, he is not going to listen to anyone or buy into the hype when the defensive line is performing well at training camp.
Yeah. I'm out. Do you think they're gonna? Do you think they're gonna roll it back, or they'll actually do anything? And I don't mean like a Za'Darius Smith cast off, who's 33 years old and he's gonna be starting, or a Preston Smith.
You want another Xavier McKinney, but for the line. That's what you want.
Yes. Do they have money?
They'll have a little bit. I mean, not as much. I don't think they'll be able to go out and spend the way they did last year with McKinney and Josh Jacobs. Because here's the thing. Like, Jacobs is probably going to start making more money. So you're going to have to figure that out. There's some things they're going to have to work around in order to free up some cash, probably.
So maybe one big
Maybe splash. One guy, yeah. Maybe one guy to help out the defensive line or the defensive backfield.
And then my other question is, if they do move on from Jair, what do they get for him?
Oh, I don't think you can trade him.
No, that's a straight up cut, buddy.
Yeah, I think that's a cut.
What?
What leverage do they have to say, can we at least have a seventh?
Like, I know, there's nothing. I get it, but he still has value. I mean, he wants to play.
But teams aren't going to want to give up anything for him.
Really?
Well, I mean, he's played like half the games since 2020.
No, I know that. I am aware.
And that's the reason why nobody's going to go, yeah, here's a second round pick. You know, nobody's going to step up and do that.
But they are a better team when he's on the field. And sometimes, you know, the PIA in him, you got to balance the two between his talent and how big of a pain in the ass he is. Is it too far gone now?
So that's the thing. I want to be careful here, and I want to say this to Jason as well, because I feel like David Bakhtiari ended up getting a bad rap at the end of the day because he couldn't play. Like, the knee was actually bad enough that he couldn't play, but everybody speculated because of how LaFleur – I mean, I'm guessing LaFleur wishes he would have handled things a little bit differently and been a little bit more forthcoming, because the way he was – he kind of avoided some of the questions with Bakhtiari and then eventually came forward and everybody learned how bad the knee was. But I feel like Bakhtiari, because he was buddies with Rodgers and that divorce was still pretty fresh, that everybody thought, oh, this guy just doesn't want to play. Right? And I feel like he got a bad rap when the dude just couldn't play. Like, he just could not physically get out there and play. Yeah. And I feel like Bakhtiari got a bad rap. So I want to tread more cautiously this time. It looks like Jair to me. It looks like Jair doesn't want to play. It looks like that. And that could be the case. I just want to handle this one a little bit more delicately, even though something seems to be awry. Something doesn't seem right.
Is it he doesn't want to play because he knows he's on his way out?
Maybe.
Or he doesn't want to play because he only plays when he's 100%.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the case is when it comes to
Jair.
He's
clearly driving the bus, right? He's clearly driving the bus.
Yes, I will agree with that.
Which coaches do not like. Because when the training staff in Chicago said, yeah, he's cleared, he's good to go, and he plays 10 plays.
Yeah.
And LaFleur's answers ever since then about Jair have been very
He's seemed snarky. Annoyed. Yes.
Annoyed.
Non-committal. Although he did say there's swelling in the knee. So I don't know. Again, I don't know what that means. And hopefully Jason can provide a little bit more clarity when we talk to Jason in just a moment.
You know who has swelling in their body this time of year?
You?
Everybody. It's week 18. Everybody does.
He got it right. Week 18, attaboy.
Yeah. Hey, I did a little show prep.
Well, he came ready with these chewy resolutions.
I wrote them down right away.
That was organic. That was right off the top of the head.
Well, we've got some other resolutions here that people are chiming in with, Chewy.
Yep.
Augie from Fredonia saying, I'm not going to buy into someone telling me not to sleep on Atlanta.
They're still in the playoff hunt, and if they make the playoffs, I have achieved my goal.
If they make the Falcons or the Bucks, he wins either way.
I have achieved my goal.
Am I right or wrong? If Tampa Bay loses and Atlanta wins, we're never going to hear
then,
the end of it.
What do you mean you win? I had a hand just like that before. I didn't win.
Because I win.
I mean, a comment like that comes when they've been out of it for 4 or 5 weeks. They're still in the hunt. So that still is going to turn out to be a really good call on my part. That's how I look at it.
They played 18 or 17 meaningful games, had 18 meaningful weeks.
Yeah.
Frankie's saying his New Year's resolution, his NFL resolution, is like Chewy, not listen to pundits and fans tell me how good Green Bay is and how they're a Super Bowl contender when they haven't been to a Super Bowl, even successful in the playoffs in a decade, getting close to Cowboys territory there. No, Frankie, come on, man. Like, we don't have to go all the way the other way, like, and pretend, like, going to NFC Championship games, that is successful. They've done that a bunch in the last decade. You know who hasn't been to even an NFC Championship game in 30 years? That's the Dallas Cowboys. All right? Like, the Packers are nowhere near Cowboy territory.
No.
They
no,
have gone
no, no.
to NFC Championship games in 14, in 16, in 20, or 19, and in 20. They've been to 4 in the last 10 years.
Yes.
All right? Like, that. There's still some success that's happening there, even if you don't have the ultimate success, nowhere near the Cowboys. All right? I won't let you go that far, Frankie. Won't let you go that far.
Yeah, that's far. I can't believe it's been 30 years. Holy.
Yeah, seriously, Chew. When they beat you
is
guys.
Is that the last time we
when they
played
beat you?
Them? Was
the, yes.
Yeah.
When they beat wow. you in 95, that's the last NFC Championship game they went to.
Yes.
Which is crazy. Wow. Crazy for
and
America's
how many, they
team.
Haven't. Yeah, America's team, where they win 2 playoff games?
Since then?
That,
and they've only won 2 playoff games in 30 years?
Mac. Yeah, both with Mac.
No, they won a playoff game with in 14. Yeah. The year they came, the Dez didn't catch it. They won a playoff game to come to Green Bay because the Packers had a bye that year.
Did they?
Yeah. So they won a playoff game there. They okay. won one with Mac.
Who cares? They suck.
Yeah. It's. Yeah, I mean, again, like the Packers have more playoff wins in that building than the Cowboys do.
Yes.
They have three playoff wins, including a Super Bowl in Jerry's World, which is absolutely crazy. We will continue to get to your NFL resolutions. We want your 2025 NFL resolutions. Chewy has his two. One, he's not going to listen to anyone tell him the Bears are going to be any good next year, and he's not going to listen to anybody gush about the Packers defensive line. We'll have to that one's a little bit tougher because you've got to keep that one, you know, in the front of the brain once we get to training camp in late July, early August. So you're going to have to hold on to that one. But what are your NFL resolutions? We'll see if Jason Wilde has any when he joins us. Coming up next with Jason Wilde. As for one final time, Jason, in 2024, we have a Dude Tuesday. What's up, dude?
Hi, guy.
Hi, guys. How are you? Super Bowl bound Packers. What's up, dudes?
So Chewy has his NFL resolutions that he gave us in the first segment, Jason. Number one, he's not going to listen to anybody, whether it's nationally, whether it's locally, whatever it is. Tell him how good the Bears are going to be. He's just not going to buy into that. And his second one is he's not going to buy into any sort of preseason or training camp hype on the Packers defensive line. Do you have any NFL resolutions that you have for 2025?
Those are both really good.
Yeah, and again.
Did you do both? Now, were you guilty of both of those this season,
yes.
then, and that's why you're pushing back on them?
Yeah, totally. Because, Jason, it kind of felt like this year's D-line was the Luke Musgrave of the previous year.
You are so...
Just kind of felt that way.
It is amazing to me how... What a complete knucklehead you are, and yet how good you are at this at the same time. It never ceases to amaze me. That's such a good line. I don't do many resolutions in like real non-football life, other than I'm going to get in shape. And as you can see, I've really nailed that one for the last 15 years or so. But I would say this. I think, you know, I was thinking about this week as things kind of unfolded the way they did on Sunday. Like, I go back to 2 years ago in the trailer at Summerfest, and you and I, Gabe, talking mm-hmm. to Strofe, and, you know, they ended up being far better than we anticipated, and we were wrong about what our expectations were. This year, unless they go on some sort of incredible 3-road game run here and start beating teams that are better than them, I am going to feel very good about what I had said about this team and where it stood, that it was a year away, that they could end up with a better record and be a better team and not go as far in the playoffs as they did a year ago, because that's a distinct possibility the way things have played out. So I think one of the things that we should all resolve to do is to temper expectations, because I don't know if it does you any good, right? Like, what a joy the 23 season was, because you didn't really have expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And then so many people went into this season, we talked about Jordan Love and how, you know, defensive coordinators have film on him now, so are they going to have a better idea of how to defend him? We kind of went through a little period there where we were thinking, okay, here he goes again, Mr. Toyotathon. Is Toyotathon over? Because he did not play like Toyotathon Jordan in Minneapolis, right? So I think the biggest thing is to, you know, I believe they are a good team. I believe they'll be a better team next year. But I think a lot of folks did a lot of crowning of a lot of people, both individually and of this team. And I think what we've learned this season is, like Chewy's teams, you know, had a win in 93, 94, 95 breakthrough, but not get to the Super Bowl. This is a process. And so my resolution is to always remember, it's a process. It's a process. It's a process.
Jason, what's your gut tell you on Jair? Is there more than
Matt LaFleur
being...
now?
Yeah, I just...
What gut guy? Yeah, I think my gut has told me all along that it's kind of David Bakhtiari 2 electric boogaloo.
Well, but...
That... What?
Well, I feel like Bach got a bad rap. Like, I felt like people...
No. You're right.
You know?
Let me clarify that.
Okay.
The sequel is that the coaches and the head coach felt like he could have been playing and got sick of the weekly will he or won't he. And I think that, you know, he did allow a little bit in answer to Rob's terrific question yesterday about, you know, is there a difference of opinion between what you guys think he can do and what he thinks he can do in terms of playing. And whether or not it was justified or not last year, Gabe, I think that was what LaFleur got very frustrated with, right? You can you could run back press conference footage of him answering Bakhtiari questions,
mm-hmm.
and him answering Jair questions, and it's almost the exact same affect from him.
So he didn't learn anything from the Bakhtiari situation? Because if it's a legitimate injury, like his reaction, Jason, I think led to the fan base going, oh, Bakhtiari just doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to be out there.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like that's the same thing's happening. How did LaFleur not learn any lessons, especially for a guy who's been known as such a player's guy and having his players' backs?
Well, unless, of course, he realized he was wrong about Bakhtiari, but he doesn't think he's wrong about Jair. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm not a medical guy, to quote Matt LaFleur, but PCL injuries, you know, they're not frequent, but the ones that I have seen players deal with, they're not supposed to be season ending.
Mm-mm.
And at this point, you know, other than those 10 snaps, and he obviously was really, really ticked about that whole scenario, because, you know, I wasn't in Chicago that day, but he was out there on the field with Jair before the game. Like, they had this big powwow about, you know, are you ready to play, et cetera, et cetera. Jair said he was good to go, and then for him to pull the plug after 10 snaps, that obviously really, really pissed LaFleur off. And so I think that's part of it. You know, I think there's a few people, including Tausch, who have made good points about just how maybe emotional more emotional than previously he has been this season about a variety of things, and this is probably another one that should be on the list, is the situation with his cornerback. But when I look at how this has played out, I don't think he thinks it's the same as Bakhtiari, even though his reaction has been the same, because ultimately, you know, I think they found that, okay, David's injury was much more complicated and problematic than what I think LaFleur thinks Jair's is. And look, the other difference is, eventually, David stood at his locker for 45 minutes and explained all the intricacies of what he was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I assume at some point he had also articulated that to the coaches and the medical staff and everybody else last year, but I don't get the sense that there's been great communication about this year from Jair, certainly not to us, but also to everybody at 1265.
But Jason, could part of it be, and you've been around Jair for years, could part of it be the rumblings he's hearing, like he is not returning to this team next year? Could Jair just say, fine, I'm not playing anymore? Could that be part of
it? Yeah, it certainly could be. I mean, again, my frustration with this, you know, and whether it's, you know, the old days that, you know, and Ted, I remember Ted got really mad at Schneider for spilling the tea about how Carl Peterson screwed them on the trade for Tony Gonzalez, right? Like, they had an agreement on a third-round pick. They reneged at the last second before the trade deadline, and Carl Peterson said he needed a second-round pick. Schneider was ready to do it anyway. Ted said, no, we're not letting them do that. The fact that all of that, let Schneider, quote Schneider, who was actually a unnamed source, told me all that. But remember, like, even I think in fairness to John, I mean, even Tony Gonzalez himself thought he was going to be a Packer, and vented to the local media in Kansas City that they had basically misled him. But the reason why that's germane to this is Ted had guys that he wasn't, like, paranoid. He wasn't happy about John giving the full details of that. But as a big picture, he had guys like him, like Reggie McKenzie, like John Dorsey, mm-hmm. who would talk to us behind the scenes and fill the vacuum of information until later in Ted's career, and there were a bunch of things going on then, obviously, and all those guys had left. So my point is that they haven't had anybody say to get LaFleur off the podium and not have to answer questions about this. Like yesterday, they just don't, or Goody doesn't believe in the idea of, all right, if we tell the media things on background and they can write it without us being quoted, it can actually help us and save us from dealing with some of the stuff when our coach is standing at the podium facing the media, that he doesn't have to answer questions because we've already fed them our version of what's going on here and they've run with it, right? Now, the flip side of that is, it's not fair to the player necessarily, and the player has every opportunity. I mean, you know, I joked about it, but Jair had every opportunity when he came over to me in the locker room and told me, like, my sweatshirt. Like, I didn't just take the compliment and say, oh, great to see you, buddy. Like, I said, you got a minute? He's like, oh, I got to go. Like, he's had every opportunity to give his side of the story. He has not done it either. So my problem with these types of stories is, in this vacuum of actual information from the people involved, conjecture then fills that vacuum. And that's where we were with Bakhtiari until he finally talked, and with the way LaFleur was behaving about it. And now we're right back there again with a guy who missed 9 games due to injury and a 10th due to suspension last year, and now this year is back, having missed 9 games already this season. Hmm.
Jason, has Matt LaFleur been different heading into these big games this year? Because I know he talked about it and how he was kind of on edge against Detroit. And Tausch said it on Green Bay game night, where he thinks that Kevin O'Connell ate Matt LaFleur's lunch. Is LaFleur putting too much pressure on himself heading into some of these bigger games?
He might be. I didn't think that he was going into this game as nearly as, Chewy likes? Puckery. and I didn't think he was nearly as bad this past week as he was going into Detroit, at least publicly. Maybe behind the scenes he was, and I just, we didn't see it. But, I just think he is hyper-competitive. There's no doubt about it. He is obsessive about this, and I think that there are times when that goes to his detriment. But what I think Tausch's point was, and I don't want to speak for him, but I think it's just that he's allowing his intense desire to win and his emotions to get away from him. And, he's berating the down judge. Even if he was right about, whether or not Edgerrin Cooper had entered the neutral zone with that flinch. Because remember, he did, regardless of whether you think he crossed the line or not, he did flinch. And I also find myself wondering, because after all their offsides, encroachments, neutral zone infraction penalties, I did something that I probably should have done long ago, but hadn't. I went and looked up in the NFL handbook the difference between all three of those penalties.
Okay.
And, of course, now I can't remember them, so that's great. Radio will be. But, one is if you make contact.
Yep.
One is if you cause the guy on the offensive player to flinch. The other one is if you literally cross the line of scrimmage and then are unabated to the quarterback. So there are, by the letter of the law, I think, even if we are looking at Edgerrin Cooper and saying, well, he didn't really cross the line of scrimmage, did he enter the neutral zone with his flinch? And Matt LaFleur thought not, and the down judge, who I happen to go to college with, and is one of my good friends, his name is Mike Carr, he was, I don't know how he'll be graded on that call, but you could read LaFleur's lips. Mike, that's not offsides. Mike, that's not offsides. So back to your original question is, in the first Minnesota game, that was the game where he was jumping up and down and drew the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on the sideline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he has been more on edge and more reactionary and more emotional. And to Tausch's point, look at Kevin O'Connell, right? You just his core emotion, if he shows anyone, is hugging guys and telling them how much he cares about them. You don't see him lose his crap. And for when you look back on great coaches, Chewy played for one that I think is going to get into the Hall of Fame, certainly should, and he certainly blew his stack from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Sherman, other than losing his mind over Chris Akins on the sideline being insubordinate, and other than going after Warren Sapp after that game, he very rarely did, right? He rarely showed emotion. And Mike McCarthy... I still remember him in Cincinnati when Rodgers was screaming at him and McCarthy's giving him this look like, what the hell are you doing? it's the same face that, Steph Curry gave, LeBron James in the finals years ago when LeBron James was all mad. He's looking at him like, dude, what's wrong with you? That is kind of what I'm accustomed to. Holmgren, very emotional. The other two guys, very rarely emotional. And Matt LaFleur, up until really this year, was kind of in the McCarthy-Sherman category, right? He would get frustrated with certain things. You saw him throw his red challenge flag down like he was spiking it after a touchdown on occasion. But more often than not, he was pretty even-keeled. And I thought last year a little bit more, and now this year a lot more, he's shown more of that. And as I told Tausch yesterday, I don't want to ask that question in a press conference. I don't think that elicits a good answer from him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to request to talk to him one-on-one this week in hopes of getting a chance to ask him about this, because I do think it's a story, and I'm interested to see if he agrees with Tausch and us in how we're kind of viewing him this season.
Jason, always appreciate the time, buddy. Look forward to more on the Packers with you and Tausch coming up in, well, it's going to be about 80 minutes at this point.
Yeah, sorry to keep you waiting.
Well, no, there's a lot of stuff to get to, Jason. We didn't even get to everything I wanted to, but that's what Thursday is for.
I look forward to it, boys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Things we can react to, certainly, off of that. Plus, we still want to hear from you and your NFL resolutions, the way Chewy has taken the lead on that. We hear from you next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chewy's got two NFL resolutions. He's not going to listen to anyone when they try to tell him the Bears are going to be good in 2025. He's not going to listen to anyone. I guess unless they're... Do you want to add an amendment? Like, if they go out and make some sort of big splash signing or trade...
No, I'm not. No. It's the Bears. They're cursed.
Well, no, I'm talking about the defensive line. Like, if the Packers go out and make some big splash defensive line signing or surprise us all and make some sort of big trade.
I'm specifically talking about this group.
Okay.
If they roll it back, which I believe they will roll it back, and is what it is.
Yeah. Okay, so if you have your NFL resolution, 800-990-3776 is the ESPN Milwaukee talk or text line. I'm still trying to figure out what exactly is going on with Jair. We talked with Jason. He doesn't really know what's going on. Matt LaFleur's been evasive. If, as somebody who's been in a locker room, Chew, I don't know if you've really ever dealt with something like this. If suddenly, I mean, you've dealt with the inverse when Gabe Wilkins decided he couldn't play in the Super Bowl, you know, played all the way along, and then, oh, Super Bowl, I can't. What if Jair suddenly goes, yeah, I'm ready to go, and wants to play against Philly? Are you just rolling your eyes, or are you, yeah, this guy's really good, he could help us, we want him on the field?
Well, yeah, of course I want him on the field, because it makes the team better, but here's what I believe, Gabe. There was a meeting last year at the end of the year, specifically for Jair and LaFleur. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Where I believe LaFleur says, look, you got one more straw. That's it.
Yeah.
You have one more straw, and that's it. We're not putting up with this stuff, blah, 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 right? I think Jair knows that he just busted his straw, and I don't know if I'm going to – he's not going to play this week against the Bears.
I would agree.
Does he go out with Philly just to make himself look good? With the potential of next year someone picking him up? Because you guys said he's not tradable.
I don't think so.
I can't believe he's not tradable.
Well, true. The guy is an idiot,
but he still has value. Huh?
Well, let's say you're a team in the AFC looking for cornerback help. What are you giving up for Jair? Knowing what you know, and knowing that NFL GMs probably have an even better idea of what we know, because they're on the inside, what would you give up for Jair?
Let me ask you this question. Is he better than Lattimore? When playing,
Lattimore's probably a half tick better.
And then what did Lattimore go for? A two?
Yeah.
So you would think a three.
But
yeah, but you know he's going to be on the field.
You don't think there's any chance he gets a three?
Well, dude, do you think Jair's not playing right now to just save his future? Like, do you think this is what Gabe was talking about with the D-box stuff, which I think is a really interesting comparison. But, like, do you think Jair's not playing because he's actually injured and can't play? Or he's like, I'm going to wait until I can showcase me being healthy, and then hopefully I'll either be on this team and a star next year with a new contract, or I'll be somewhere else that wants me.
Actually, I had a PCL, right? I had a PCL in 97. Right? I came back. I missed one game. I shouldn't have been playing in game two. I shouldn't have been. And I'll never forget it. It was against Miami. And, Gabe, I think I showed you the footage of me running a basic cross, which was a crossing route at about 12 yards. And you could tell I was hobbled. Shouldn't have been playing. And I remember Jimmy Johnson came up to me before the game and said, God, I wish I had more guys like you that would actually play when they're banged up. So I was probably, because you're never going to get to 100% with that type of injury, but I would say 4 weeks in, I was 95%. I'd done wearing the brace and all that. I think it's, he knows he's out of town. He's doing, which he's always done, his way. I believe the medical staff would say, LaFleur, he's good to go, which would explain his reaction when asked about Jair. And Jair's going to do what he wants to do, but at the end of the day, Jair's doing what's best for him. So if he believes playing for Philly to get some film and show that he's still an elite corner, he's going to do it. If he's not 100%, if he's 98%, he ain't going to play. And then he'll be gone next year.
Well, let's go ahead and listen to what, I mean, we've referenced it a couple of different times. So let's listen to what Matt LaFleur had to say about Jair Alexander yesterday in a back and forth with Rob Domofsky.
Do you think there's any chance you'll have Jair at all the rest of the season?
Yeah, I don't know. As soon as I know, I'll let you guys know.
Like a difference of opinion between what he thinks his health is and what you guys think it is?
Yeah, I can't really get into all that. I do know that he's been dealing with swelling, and, you know, he doesn't feel right to go out there and play.
Well, I mean, he's basically saying the guy should be playing. He's, you know, doing it his way.
Yeah.
I mean, you always have swelling. This time of year, Gabe, because, I mean, you just think of all the balls a receiver's catches from the day one of training camp to now.
Mm-hmm.
My knuckles would be so swollen this time of year that, you know, you had to just oil them up and get them going because the amount of balls
you catch. Would you wake up in the morning and your hands would just be, like, stiff, like you couldn't move them?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you'd have swelling. Sure.
I'm just imagining Chewy like Frankenstein, where he's just like, except like trying to, where's the toothbrush?
No, that's how it was. That's how it was. And it was on a Thursday when the tort all wore off, and you're like, give me another one, please. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
The tort all was so bad for you guys.
No,
wait, so what would you do? What would you do to, like, kind of loosen up? Just, like, slowly be able to move them, and as the day kind of went on, you were able to move your hands just like a little bit more?
The motion that he's got to do is like this, like the tiger, you know?
He's doing tiger.
You get in the tub and you loosen it up, and it's just, you know, things, you know, oil. But you're slobbering so much, what is it, Bengay all over yourself?
Yeah, sure.
Or whatever they had back then. I mean, I'd put it on my lower back before every practice just to get loose, and, you know, guys would put it on their knees, and you just put it wherever you're having a tough time getting things oiled up to get going, you know? But, yeah, I mean, everyone's, this time of year, everyone is beat up. You know, that's why I gave you the scale at the start of training camp. You start at 100, right? And by this time, depending on the year, how beat up you are, how much you're playing and stuff, I mean, if I played a long year, I mean, I'd be at 93%.
Okay.
Compared to when I first took the field
in training camp.
Probably not even 93 because you're weaker. You're smaller, you're sorer. So, yeah.
Our buddy Ashton needs a little bit of help, and I think Chewy could be the guy to help him. We'll get through that coming up next. But look, tomorrow, it's New Year's Day. Maybe you've got plans tonight, maybe you don't. But you certainly should have plans tomorrow. Three college football games that you're going to be able to kick back and watch, you know, in the quarterfinals. That's going to be great. You're not going to want to get up and really have to plan anything. You're just going to sit back and watch those games. And what goes better with football than pizza? You want to make sure that your freezer today is stocked up with Palermo's Pizza, with great brands like Palermo's Urban Pie, Connie's Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, so many different brands, whatever you're looking for. If you're looking for a thicker crust, a medium crust, a thin crust, or that crispy cracker crust, they have solutions for you when it comes to your frozen pizza. Keep an eye out for them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. I'll tell you what, I always make sure I keep at least two, maybe sometimes three different Palermo's pizzas in my freezer because you never know what kind of crust, what kind of flavors you're going to be looking for, but I can promise you this. Tomorrow during college football, I'm going to be having a Palermo's. You should be as well. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it. But it's not it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
There's your airline, guys. Good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Well, the big guy Chewy has certainly helped Ashton become a lot of things. More confident in life, right? Mm-hmm. There's still some nervous tendencies that Ashton has. And he's got one. I mean, he was kind of nervous when he was talking to me about this morning, Chewy. And he just needs your help because you travel a lot. You're flying back and forth from here to Florida, where you are right now. You know, you've taken a bunch of the international trips. You had the cruise earlier this year. So, Ashton, what is your dilemma that maybe Chewy can help us with?
I need so much help in this aspect. I don't know
what. And Chewy's always been there for you.
Allegedly. I have no idea what to do. I need to buy a flight to go to Phoenix from Milwaukee in March. We're at like the 8-week mark now, which is when I am of the belief that prices start to now really climb when you're in that like 8-week range before you're supposed to leave. Yesterday, a flight was at a certain price, and one of my friends booked it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to wait, I think. I think I'm going to sleep on it and make sure this is what I want to do, or I'm going to look maybe elsewhere on a different airline, or maybe it'll drop in a week or two. And I said, I'm going to wait. I woke up this morning. The first thing I did was I checked the flights, and they went up $150 already. So what am I to do? Do I wait?
Okay.
There's another airline that has a cheaper flight, but it's an airline I don't love flying as much because I can't choose the seat. You guys can decide which airline it is from there. I don't know what to do.
All right, a couple things. Stop reverting back to panicky, nervous Nelly.
But I can't. Okay.
Just stop it right there. You haven't been hanging out with me enough. That's part of the problem. Two, I can't stand the beard. The beard looks terrible.
Chewy, trim that thing off.
I mean, you're not Justin Turner for crying out loud.
Chewy and my mom are the only two people who don't like the beard.
Yes.
Does your fiance like the beard?
Yeah, my fiance Emily is a fan of it.
That's all that matters.
Thank you.
Would she tell you if she didn't like it?
Oh yeah, she'll tell me the truth on many things. Yeah.
As a sidebar, got a haircut, got the beard trimmed yesterday. Got home, my wife goes, "Do you like what they did to your beard?"
So
you says enough. That sounded very LaFleury.
Don't have to read between the lines there.
All right, now I'm ready.
Ashy,
for your advice.
In regards to the flight, I just went up and talked to the general.
Yes.
Who's the queen of running lean.
Salute.
Okay?
What?
She said, yes, wait, there'll definitely be another sale, but you have to look on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
That's what I was told.
I guess.
Yes.
That's typically the day that people do not look for flights. So she said, yes, there'll be a handful of more sales, but wait. But you got to check it on Tuesday and Wednesday.
So today is Tuesday. Now, here's
New Year's Eve.
I know, yeah. I know. Should I keep checking throughout the day? Do I just wait? Do I
just check Tuesday, Wednesday. I thought February. She was on the phone, so I interrupted her. But
I got a question.
Some things
for
are
you.
More important.
Yeah, she said, get lost, basically.
Okay.
In kind of an endearing way. Oh,
yeah, in the most loving way possible, you can say get lost. Yes. Yeah, we understand.
So, Ashy, just check. I don't think they'll go any higher because obviously they're going to be really high now around the holidays and things like that. But I remember her saying February has some screaming deals. So don't panic yet.
We all know I'm going to panic. Good. I'm going to panic by these. We all know. I'm going to look. I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to give you guys an update in the second hour because I'm just going
to
keep looking.
Well, you know what I love to do, Gabe. One of my favorite things to do is the old
I told you so.
I told you so. Uh-huh. So I'll be looking as well.
Could you let me know if you find a good deal? I know you love I told you
That's
so.
Fantastic. Well,
I know. If you shave the beard.
I'm going to get it cleaned up before I go to Mexico City in a couple weeks. So I'll get it trimmed.
Man, you're...
Okay.
Man, this guy had like never been on a flight. Now he's flying all over the place now.
Big time.
He's our boss.
Yeah.
Just needed a girlfriend.
Thank you, Chew.
Thank you,
Chew. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go to break, losers.
Are the wide receivers good enough? We discuss in 2 minutes. Jen, give it to you.